shot.
Must be they're finally thinking about fixing the tower up there.
Okay, are they following in order?
A week from Christmas and then.
It's definitely getting warmer.
Do we have any modifications to the agenda? Okay. So we need. And I guess we'll get you guys out of here first.
Right?
Thank you.
That's a way of words, huh?
Yeah.
Make you feel welcome.
I'm Jeff Cavanino, for those that don't know me. I know some of you. It's been a while, it's good to see you.
Boomer Walker.
Say that again?
Boomer Walker.
Boomer.
Larry Bell.
Larry, yep.
We met
Greg,
on
the parking lot. Your name?
Steve.
Steve.
Nice Southern Marshals Association.
And Chris.
You know me.
Chris Town, brother for me?
Yeah.
Everybody, this is our president, Matt Jones. We haven't been to, I used to come to select board meetings pretty regularly. It's been a long time since pre-COVID, I think, is kind of when it stopped. And, you know, checking in with Kent, he's kind of like, you know, you don't have anything going on, you don't have to come if you don't want. But, so it's been a while since I've been back, and then Matt hasn't had a chance to meet everybody. So we wanted to come because our master plan is up for refresh, renewal, and we're looking to submit that in January, and we wanted to go over kind of the highlights of it with you so that when it is submitted, you're not surprised, you know, and we can have some sort of communication and dialogue. So that's our plan. You want to add before I jump in?
No, I think we can dive in and I can add to it. I guess one of the thing, the one thing I will say is I appreciate having Jeff in his role overseeing the planning. I spent 25 years out west in my last role. When it came to work like this, I did not have that kind of dedicated resource. So both on the planning side and then just making sure that we do what we say we're going to do, and, you know, adhere to what we put in the various permits for each of the projects. I haven't seen, had a little bit of that when I was in Colorado, but have not seen, you know, someone that takes it as seriously as Jeff, maybe sometimes as much to the chagrin of the guys on the hill, but I think it keeps everybody.
You probably didn't have to stay on your butt up there. We do down here.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They've been on this mountain's butt for years.
Yep. Yeah, so it's just better to do it right and do it right the first time versus trying to ask for forgiveness after a mistake. So I've appreciated that, but it's, you know, I'm a year in, so still learning. I probably will be 5 years, 10 years in, but it's been a good first year. Lots to learn with the challenging weather we're in. So, excited to get working on this.
Good. So, 2018, we submitted a renewal. And if you go into it now, you know, we got to a point where we were writing in the renewals, see previous findings, see previous findings. And we were just submitting and rolling it over because the plan wasn't changing. We were still on that same plan. From 1996. So the state is finally like, I think they lost a lot of documents and some flooding and, you know, looking into it through some recent permits. They requested that we update our master plan to 2025 kind of standard. So we've been going through for the last 5 years updating the existing plan, and we're going to be resubmitting it with all new updated supporting documents and requesting new findings, but the overall plan is very much the same. And it's kind of hard to see from the black and white, which I'm sorry, again, I thought there was a computer and I'd have it all up, and I've done it a couple times, so I kind of, I'm in routine, or I have a routine. So the light ones on your map are the pink. And those signify things that are from the previous master plan. And then the kind of the darker bubbles, and we can pass this around, are the green. And that is addition or revisions to existing things. So I'll kind of slide that around, and I'll explain that. So what we mean by addition or not necessarily new, but a revision to something that's currently either built or was planned. So the Act 250 permit, there's 10 criteriums, and then there's like all these sub-bullets that brings it out to like 30 different categories you got to check the boxes for if you want. And the master plan's purpose is really to check some of those boxes ahead of time so that when you get into the projects identified in the master plan, you've already done some of the work. But it's really to look at the overall impact of the full build-out of the resort when you get there. So the full build-out, you know, again, is kind of we're renewing the existing, we're updating the existing plan. It is very much the same. You're going to hear me say that a lot and kind of re-emphasizing it. The we're hoping to check some boxes, but we're not going to be able to check all of them because we will still have to do individual Act 250 permits for every one of those projects that's listed out. So we do have a timeline that I've shared with Kent, and we've updated it since I've, you know, sent it to Kent already. But it's a list of all the projects identified on the map and then kind of in the order that we would potentially work on building them and constructing them. You know, it's a 10 years is probably the most accurate, and then we go out as far as 30 years, but you know, some of those ones, who knows when we'll get to them, actually. And there's definitely the possibility of things that we identify 5 or 8 years out that we move up or we move down. They'll always still be on the list, but we may shuffle the order throughout the years before we are, as we decide we need to address a project or want to build a project.
And I would say, just as an example, like the number of units, you know, at full build-out, what we're looking at, really not even just the 10 years, but what you think about 20 years out, we're still within that, what the resort was called, was considered at full build-out. So even with these projects, and not that we would even envision doing all these within the next 20 years, like there might be some movement back and forth, and Jeff and I can walk it through some potential examples, but it's important to, you know, it's important to us to make sure we're not going beyond what was originally intended in terms of the build out.
Yeah, so moving chess pieces around, trading condo units for restaurant seats or something like that, that's what we mean about moving chess pieces around on the board. Still, that overarching umbrella of impact, we're still underneath it with the amount of water and sewer we've been allocated, or the amount of electricity or impacts to, you know, the wetlands and environment and things. All those that were identified, we're doing our best to stay underneath that. So, so just kind of what'll be submitted with the master plan. You know, we have an air quality number one on the criteria list is air pollution. You know, we have an air quality permit. So we'll be submitting that with a memo that kind of, you know, has our permit, but then also says what we're currently doing and how we're meeting that and what our capacities are. And we'll be going through each one of those and submitting either a supporting permit, approved plan, like our wildlife habitat plan, or a memo to support it, you know. So going through water pollution is one, you know, municipal services, educational services, traffic, and public utility, and then conformance with local and regional plan. So we'll be submitting supporting information to you, a lot of those, forestry management plan. So I guess what I did for Wind Hall, so we've done this kind of review with Act 250, with our district coordinator, with Windham Regional Commission. We met with Wind Hall's Planning and Development Committee. We've met with Stratton Fire Department. Londonderry Rescue, we've talked with them. So we're here talking to you guys. What we've done in the past is present, is kind of run through each project and talk about kind of what the vision is, and if it's a new or an old. Is that something you want to hear, or is that too much detail? Do you want, do you have questions at this point?
Anybody have any questions you want to ask? Go through it all.
You can give us the quick version.
I'll give you the quick version. Yeah. So,
I can jump in just in terms of like the initial opportunities and similar to what I said the other day at the transportation meeting. I firmly believe like not all growth is good growth, so I want to make sure what we do is responsible. And there's a number of different ways you can grow ski resorts. I've been in this industry now 27 years, and making our Saturdays busier, you can do that. There's things that we can do to build to do that. That I have zero interest in that. We talked with the team, our senior team, our management team, and for a variety of reasons, which may seem obvious, but we have no interest in that. So one of the projects we're looking at going after first is, some event space, kind of group and corporate space. And while we're focused on that is one purpose-built building, but we can use it in the winter and get corporate groups up during the week for their events, but also in the summer. You all probably know we've got a bunch of different amenities and things to do at the resort, between mountain biking and hiking and golf and tennis, et cetera. So there's a lot of that. And it does really well when we have an event like the Beach Boys concert that we have, which is like it drives the funnel for folks. So we don't need every weekend to be exactly like that. And certainly our weekdays would never get that way. But if we can drive a little bit more to those, need periods where we've got plenty of capacity and grow that, there's a real opportunity. And the fact that we have virtually no group space right now means, we're starting from zero. So there's a lot of room to grow before that. So that's a big piece of it. And then you'll see on there, so a rework of Sunbowl Lodge. Obviously that building, it has its own issues. But it's actually not that old of a building, but it's got some construction issues, et cetera. So, eventually we need to rework that building, and perhaps we don't have a full service hotel. We've got a Black Bear Lodge, but that's pretty tired, and we're doing some updates to that. But the rest of everything is condos. So we try and do a hotel in Sunbowl, and have ski in, ski out, so people don't have to be leaving. They can stay overnight there. It's less of us driving them around and from condos and the shuttles. That's a real opportunity for us as well. And so to support that, so that's all on the master plan to support that. Right now we're spending a lot of money on snowmaking. We've done a ton of, we spent $2 million on snowmaking just since August 1, trying to get as efficient as we can. We were talking earlier about the temps. We were able to have 250 guns going last night during a really short window because of some of those investments. I don't know if it'll get us open this weekend, but we wouldn't have a shot if it wasn't for some of that investment. So getting over to Sunbowl and adding some of the trails that we don't have on board, but also just continuing to upgrade the efficiency there is not only good for our energy usage, et cetera, but we can get stuff open, have a longer, more consistent season over in Sunbowl. So those are some of the initial ideas that, I think when we think about the next couple of years to 5 years, obviously getting a hotel built is going to take a third-party partner. That's why we want to start with the event center. So they can
take some of the pressure off the base, too.
Take some of the pressure off the base, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that would be, if we're spreading people out, like we, when we get the snowmaking over to Sun Bowl, the way it skied last year, now we didn't have great snow, but that's it. That's, if we're open with more trails over there, you're going to spread people out, and it'll almost feel like a terrain expansion from what, you know, might be, you know, an average year going forward, a tough weather year like last year. So that's spreading people out on our peak days, but also getting some relief from some of the crowding in the base areas is definitely a big part of that.
What about parking? Are you working on any parking yet?
Not yet. There are a couple of different spots in there. You'll see on the blobs kind of right adjacent to the Sun Bowl. A lot of that will be contingent on what is the footprint for the hotel, because, you know, we definitely don't want to lose spots. So underground parking, you know, for a facility there. That's also having a conference center elsewhere, over kind of by the commons area somewhere in that zone. Right now, one of the spots we're looking at, you know, wouldn't be on existing parking, so we don't lose parking, but you don't take up more space in Sun Bowl if you have it at the hotel. And there's plenty of models out there where people are perfectly fine not having the conference. They go to their hotel and they just go down to their conference room and back up to their room, et cetera. If you're coming to a conference here, you kind of want to get out and about anyway, winter or summer. So that's, you know, that'll be number one of maintain the existing numbers, but also expand on our current footprint.
Yeah, so first step for, you know, this is our hope that we get to the point and we can start working on some of these projects and building out. The first step is master plan. Then we go after approval from corporate. We go after permitting. And design. So we still have a ways to go on a lot of these projects. You know, so none of this is like it's going to happen. You know, we get master plan approved and then we're going to start, you know, construction within a year. We're a ways out from all that. So, you know, we get approved. It's, you know, that timeline is going to start a couple years after approval of the master plan. So they want us to look at 10 years of build out. And that's where a lot of it, the focus is. But that 10-year timeline is going to start
3 years
after we get approval. So now it's a 13-year master plan, right? So we'll be submitting for renewals and probably get in the same game as before. But so that's a new project, as Matt talked about. Some trail regrading so that we can have ski races over in the Sun Bowl is on our list. Along with the snowmaking improvements and expansion at the Sun Bowl. The snowmaking is not new. That's part of the existing master plan. You know, we still have a couple trails to add to, and then we would want to make some improvements and some upgrades. You know, the condos are all still the same. We haven't added any new condos. We'd like to bring mountain biking to that side of the mountain if we have a hotel. You know, to have mountain biking over there like we do on the main base. You know, we want to add a pool to the fitness center. We want to potentially put a traffic circle in down at the bottom of Founders Hill Road. You know, or look at some sort of, you know, our skier drop-off is kind of backwards, you know, in the grand scheme of things. You drive up past the parking deck, you come in to drop-off, then you leave, and then you go back up the hill again. So if we could reverse it, put a circle there, have people come up the hill, go through drop-off, and then continue on a lot more not to Sun Bowl, that'd be ideal. So there's some engineering that needs to happen and some design work with that, but we would do a traffic study and analysis to see what the best plan would be for that, but that's something we've thrown in here. Updating the base lodge, and, you know, just because we need to have it on the list if we want to touch it 15 years from now. Mountain Sports School, upgrade, building upgrade, Black Bear Lodge upgrade, you know, Lift Line Lodge, that needs to be torn down, something else be done there, likely a hotel. We had the old tennis building down at the lake that is beyond repair. That needs to be torn down, and we'd like to do a wedding venue there or something. So all those are existing impacts, existing properties with something happening on it, a building or operation that we'd like to redo, renovate or replace. So none of it's really, I would say, new or new impacts, but just kind of re-envisioning what's already there. Same with the golf course. I don't know if you want to speak with to that. That's in Lynn Hall, but, you know, looking at the golf course and seeing if we can rework some holes and freshen it up a little bit. And then, I don't know if you heard, but we bought a bunch of employee housing units down in Manchester properties for the hotels. So, you know, the employees really like it down there because it's close to Manchester where there's shops and restaurants, and then they can get on buses at the town hall to take them to Rutland or to Bennington so they can get to Walmart or wherever they want to go. So we're working on those, but that really helps our operation by having those set houses or housing units and number of beds for our team. But we do have some ideas for some parcels that we own kind of on the peripheral of our boundary, a radius to do some deed-restricted housing units so that our managers can be able to get in and buy a house with their family, and then it's got caps, and you know you can only make so much off of it so that it can stay in that cycle and not get bought out and you know be worth millions of dollars down the road. So.
Yeah, and in the housing that we bought, we were renting some of it, then we bought a hotel that added beds, but we also got access to a few apartments in each one of those, so it's kind of, we've got seasonal beds, we've got some apartments that we can rent out year-round to folks, kind of the next step from a seasonal employee, and then we need to kind of fill that. How do we get people to be able to buy a place? And the only model that I've seen is kind of that deed restricted where, you know, if it's on our land and we can basically get that to somebody cheap, they get a deed restriction and build, then when they're ready to, they can start building some equity, and then when they're ready to use some of that equity, it's appreciated a little bit, but there's caps on that, and then it goes back into that pool and it cycles through. There's a similar model my wife, as we met, had bought into, and it's still going today. That was in the early 2000s.
My uncle lives in one in Vail.
What's that?
My uncle lives in one in Vail.
In the town of Vail?
Yeah, right above the grocery store there.
Yeah.
The parking garage area, sort of. Yeah. That kind of condo-y townhome.
She had bought one in Edwards that was modeled off of what they did at City Market there.
Yep.
It works really well, and that I liked it. It kind of goes back into a pool again. So we can do that for our folks because that's a big issue, especially, you know, it was a big issue before, but it's really an issue post-COVID.
So that's a quick review of kind of where we're thinking, where we're looking. We have on here all lifts are subject to be replaced. I mean, we all see it, but Act 250 doesn't necessarily see that, and so we want to identify that, you know, we'll put in there kind of the year the lifts were installed so that they have some reference of the cycle we're going to be looking to potentially replace them. I think that's probably it.
What are these two patches, the Reserve and Whisperwood?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about those.
Those are condo developments that are conceptualized. Can't quote me on it, but it's, you know, each one could be 60 units, you know, so there's identified unit allocations to each one of those. Those were back from the 90s, you know, the original plan. And then their Birch's employee housing is over there as well.
And having some employee housing, like with Liftline, we've got those two buildings where we've got employee housing on site, which is super helpful for especially evenings when we don't have the mover. You know, you all are probably aware we pay for the mover and subsidize that. It's open to the public. My kids take it, which is awesome. But it stops by these hotels that we have, and it's so tough for the evening operation. So, you know, we're gonna have something like a hotel or an event space. That's more evening operations that we need to make sure that we have something on site for employees. Mm-hmm. So.
We own 40 acres at the bottom of the access road, right behind the Stratton sign. The conceptualized properties there. There's a bunch, the Lakeview site and the Fairway site on the golf course. Those are all conceptualized condos, but they're not really that high on our list. If you look at the timeline, where we're looking to develop, it's more focused on, reasons to get people here. It's a motel and upgrade, like community path and rebuild lift line and chairlift upgrades and mountain biking and Black Bear Lodge, so it's less condo development. There is some focus on some little condo, like the Reserve, and looking at that, but that's really it out of all of those that are identified there in 10 years.
Anybody have any questions?
You come up with questions, you submit. Obviously, you get opportunity to comment and whatnot, but Kent knows how to get a hold of me if you guys have any questions or you want us to come back and speak with. You have a development, a DRB as well, right? Planning Commission. Come back and present to them. We can do that. It's going to be a process. I just didn't want anybody to be surprised when it was submitted, come January.
The big culvert. What's going on with that?
The big culvert. So we met.
What culvert?
The whole one. So we met with Margo from Wyndham Regional and, I can picture it.
Yeah, it's someone that I had to miss.
From the streams division, and she's not really, she's not in permitting, she's in helping manage the regulations, but she doesn't have any power to find people or dictate anything. So she was there to help, which was great.
More compliance type.
Yeah. So we, and helping get grants and funding and things. So we looked at it. They agreed that, some sort of review needs to be put in play where they'll ask for funding from the state to come out, do the hydrology study and, plan out whether it needs to be a culvert or a bridge or what does it need to be. And then from there, that would trigger another set of grants for actual project management and construction and stuff. But, they agreed that it checks a lot of boxes to get funding from multiple organizations. Nothing was determined on whether or not it was going to happen or be built, because that's obviously this group's decision, not necessarily Stratton's. I'm willing to help wherever I can on it and keep the process moving, but ultimately it's your culvert, your road. But they agreed that affecting water quality, they agree that it's not ideal, though it's undersized and it's going to cause problems upstream and in future flooding. So it checks boxes there from just emergency, but then also water quality, threw in the walking path, if it could have a sidewalk through it, and they liked that idea as well. They're like, oh, there's funding available for that too. So like, great. We'll take all the funding alongside of it.
Yeah.
Pedestrian
and causeways and all that kind of stuff are a big thing now. I mean, I get emails about them. Mm-hmm. They're throwing millions of dollars at that kind of stuff all the time.
And then we went into Stilesbrook and walked around that association as well, because they don't have any stormwater management. They have minor culverts and drainage that they just kind of kick off in the woods, but they don't have any ponds or anything. So they're also looking at that development to see if they can help there. So we didn't spend too much time on the culvert.
I mean, the culvert's never flooded,
has
it?
No.
Not so far.
It's taken over the Mother Nature's thrown at it since it's been in there. I don't see why they could fly.
Can you elaborate a little more on the actual water quality? I know I got the little 10-cent version of it that day in that Zoom meeting that I sat in on. And I think you understand it probably better than I do.
Yeah,
maybe you can help these guys understand it.
So
you know.
I agree. It hasn't overtopped. It hasn't gone up, or it's been pretty close. It's my understanding. I haven't seen it myself. But if you look upstream, you'll see that it's cleared out. There's no real vegetation, and it's really wide, and it opens up and pools. And then if you look, you'll see a beach where it's just filled with sediment. That's showing that the water isn't getting through the culvert because it's maxed. It's backing up, and it's either circling or it's sitting there long enough where the sediment can drop and before it goes out, which isn't a bad thing because, we do have sediment issues elsewhere in the stream. But then it's pressure washing, fire hosing out the other side. And it's eating into the bank. There's a pretty steep drop-off. So it's not allowed, and it also doesn't allow fish to go through. That was another box they were talking about. Fish can't go upstream. They were in that rain.
Yeah,
when was this put in?
Not in that spot.
Oh, I don't know. Before I was born, I don't know.
long time ago.
Yeah. So
I think it was back in the 70s. I mean, I was talking to Stuart Coleman a little about it one day, and he thought it was like back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And I suspect it probably was.
When it went in, you mean?
But there's a lot of design work that's going to have to go into it because it's at this weird angle, and you couldn't really just do a bridge. And now that the bridge is longer because it's at the angle, and then there's such a drop off.
Isn't it really busy there too with gas lines?
There's a lot of infrastructure.
Yeah, some infrastructure is going through there.
Yeah.
So we'd have to navigate all that. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. Project starts tomorrow.
Right.
I sat in on another Zoom meeting the other day with Better Roads, which is it's part of Agency of Transportation, and they deal with us on a lot of our road maintenance stuff. And the head of Better Roads said the same thing. He said there's a lot of money available for these kind of projects. And I was going to suggest that we kind of get it rolling with, I can get a hold of Josh and have Josh come over and look at it, and that'll trigger a hydraulic study. And they're generally free. I've never gotten a bill for one.
No.
And then there's these municipal mitigation grants, which will cover the engineering of them. And then that you stand a lot better chance of getting a grant if you have a good figure going in, because we're in one on the Grout Pond Road right now, and it really got shoved down our throat. We only had about a month to apply for it, and we put in a real antiquated figure that AOT gave us, and right after COVID, the price of everything went up dramatically. So now we have this engineered road that we don't have enough money for.
Sure.
So I think what I would recommend is I can reach out to Josh and have him look at it. We'll call for a hydraulic study, and then we can do the new phrase is scoping study, and that'll give us, like, the engineering will go out to bid, and it'll likely get paid for. These grants do have a 20% match, but 80% of it is covered, through, but it's federal funding, so you have to jump through every single hoop, and you know, it's not like the $200,000 grants we get. It's one piece of paper, and I can fill it out in a couple of minutes, and it's pretty simple. But these are, it's union scale and Davis-Bacon, all this other stuff that comes into it, and they're gonna. It'll have to go through the Army Corps of Engineers, so it'll have to go out to a comment period for every bug study and bat study and everything else. So it, I can see it taking 2 or 3 or maybe 4 years to jump through all the hoops to get it. But these grants are allocated over that type of time frame because they understand that.
Sure.
You know. So.
Well, I would think one Wyndham Regional would.
Yeah.
Be helping with a lot of that.
Yeah, program. They would, and I was going to suggest that maybe we reach out to them and maybe have Margo and Colin come to a meeting, and they can explain that better. But at the very least, maybe have Josh Moore look at it and say, "Yep, definitely need it," and he'll support it. And then we can. I don't think the hydraulic study will happen this winter, but I mean, probably when the weather gets better. But at least get the ball rolling on it. I mean, I know the thing has never flooded, but I think it would behoove us to have the control over when it gets replaced and Mother Nature telling us, because if that thing floods out some September, that's really going to ruin ski season. I mean, it's going to, there's a lot of factors that.
You put a steel plate over it.
A great big one.
Bailey Bridge.
Yeah.
It is an impaired stream. It has been for close to 25 years. So that will also check the box.
Oh, yeah. I think.
Same with the Army Corps of Engineers. They're not going to look at it the same way because it will help the water quality.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
So, but yes, it is going to be a big project.
But, you know, not cheap. That's for sure.
No.
Maybe it'll run the beavers out from down in Lower Taylor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
So, if that's good with everybody, we could kind of get the ball rolling on it and see, you know, what path that leads us down, and then once we have a idea of what we're doing, then we can start looking at the grants and get that whole process in place.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Comments?
We gotta find a new line striper too, eh?
Well, while we're on that,
I've been waiting to get on that.
Do you? I screwed up last year, so I didn't want to do it again.
Do you guys know of anything going on like this summer from Shatterack Road back towards maintenance? Because that's one of the areas that I'm thinking about paving this summer. So if there's
a top coat on it,
no, we're gonna fix it right. We're gonna do it like we did the village. Or I think we will. You know, these guys will tell us whether we're going to do that. But that's
going on down that way.
Like, where was that? I'm sorry.
Like lot, we'll say lot one down the maintenance, a little bit past lot one.
Okay. Well, just think about it, because if that is the section we want to pave, if something needs to be changed or upgraded or fixed, we'll plan on it. You know, I mean, if he does bow mag it, then we can dig it up, change it before they top coat it, and then.
Yeah, there's that funny off pitch corner right there past tree top. It's the curb sneaks up and bites you.
Yeah.
Did you go down to the firehouse? How far?
I'm hoping that we can go all the way to the bottom of Brazier's Way, and then it'll be because that's starting to get beat up too.
Yeah.
So I was thinking it would be about the equivalent project to what we did up here this year. I think cost, well, it may be a little bit more because it pushes out a little wider in a few places, but it's a little cheaper to pave on that side of the mountain because of trucking than it is over here too, so it may offset it.
Yeah.
But if the numbers aren't like staggering, and this might be a year that we get a paving grant. If history repeats itself, it's usually every other year, and we didn't get one last year.
Yeah.
So that'll help. And then because Brazier's Way is already getting beat up again, and I'm like, it's a shame to just do, you know, 6/10 of a mile and then leave that other, you know, it would be nice to just do one shot down through there, and then your side of town is in pretty good shape over there for a while, you know, I mean.
We're looking at the bottom mile of the access road, finishing that up with Windhall, but nothing's been fully planned on that yet.
Yeah. So,
but
But if you know, if as the winter goes on, we'll keep, you know, and I'll check with you again in the spring.
Okay.
And if you find that there is a bad conduit somewhere, a bad pipe or something needs to be.
From a timing, I mean, I know we're limited when we get in there until June 1st, but we should think about, because there's a big culvert on the bottom of the access road that's going to cause a big problem.
Yeah.
In turn, like that, it's going to be
traffic. Yeah.
Completely shut down. So traffic probably coming up Lower Taylor.
Yeah.
But then there's probably going to be a lot of traffic. Well, I guess at that point they can head up above it. So. I guess that wouldn't matter.
It would
come around.
The actual paving doesn't really affect the traffic, and just that it's a little bit of a nuisance. But it doesn't really shut the road down. It's just.
But if there's something that we find.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a culvert here that needs to be replaced or whatever.
Yeah.
That was a little challenging because there was 13 culverts in the section that we did.
Yeah.
So,
it's a lot of, just takes a little planning. But.
And we started that project close to 5 years ago with a study. Look, they went in each one and said, all right, this one has 5 years left, this one has 10, this is a zero.
Yeah.
And that's why when we're going through, that we're also replacing all the culverts.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you had one outfit do these culverts and another outfit do those culverts.
Yeah. I know which ones we won't use going forward. Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see how all the money comes together and everything else.
That'd be great. I hope it works out.
Yeah, it's one of the things that.
I guess that's it.
Good, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for coming over. I'll get that ball rolling, and then maybe at some point, if Margo and them think. Meeting is good. I'll let you guys know. So if you want to be in on it, or if you need to be or whatever, we can try to set something up for them.
Okay. I know we're recording this. I mean, these aren't fully public yet. Like, we haven't really put it out in the world, but
want them back?
The rumors are out now. There's chatter out there.
You're always gonna get that.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, take care.
Great for snow.
Oh, yeah. Cold and snow.
Come. I think the weekend of the 7th will have a nice drill count with the forecast.
Yeah, it should be.
Next week.
Yeah.
Well, didn't have a very good opening last year either, so.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't rain.
Thank you, Matt.
Mr. Steve.
Yes, sir.
Give it to us.
Why don't we go over Stratton Rec first, and then we can circle back around to the major concerns. So if you go to the last page of the budget, it basically summarizes from the project planning that we did for the RTP grant, all the volunteer labor that we put in.
You got a spare one?
Yeah, I do.
There you go. Thanks.
A couple other grants that we'll get, like there's a Zimba grant and a CT or a
what's mine?
Bobcat grant. Where they'll donate machinery. Right now, I think what do we have? Like a little over $100,000 in match just from what we've done already. The pavilion, I started pricing out a metal building. Like, it's going to be in the $50,000 to $60,000 range. I'm still trying to get a contractor to get back to me on the installation of it. We'll find out where that comes in. So if the pavilion is $100,000, that means we would have to make up $36,000. There is the potential, like I got to talk to Kent about this. Has the town ever considered designating this as the village center with the state?
I don't.
Nobody ever asked.
I don't think we did.
And the reason that I ask is there's a grant called the Better Places Grant that the state puts on. That it's a 3-to-1 matching grant. So let's say you put in $10,000, you get $30,000 out of it. But it's specifically for like the improvement of the village center and within a quarter mile of it. And
Stratton Rec is
almost within a quarter mile of it.
But it would require redesignating or designating this as a village center. It's just a bunch of paperwork. I don't know if that's something.
Seems like we did one time.
Did you? I mean, I'll talk to Ken about it.
Yeah, talk to him, but he probably remember. But
okay.
I think it was designated because we had to do it for to be a historical, have that as a historical building.
Right. There's like three designations that you can do for the bit, like village center, downtown, and then historic district. I think might be the three of them.
It was a historic district. We didn't want to go for that because that restricts you too much.
Right. No, because I know when I looked at the town planning map, you have this set up as commercial as well, which is one of the requirements for being the village center.
Yeah.
I only briefly glanced through it because I didn't know if that was something.
I think this was designated as a village center.
Because I didn't see it on the state list.
Didn't see it on the list?
No, but I'll talk to Ken about it.
Maybe we didn't. I was thinking we did.
I mean, if we didn't, we could do it, and that's potentially more funding.
Yeah.
So I still have to work on the budget some more. We're still getting some quotes and stuff. But generally, I think that's where we're going to come in around is $150,000 to $160,000 ask for the grant. That's what we'll have to match. That would lower the pavilion cost down to, you know, 30 or something grand, which is better than $100,000, I think, potentially. And again, I still don't know what the total cost of that's going to be because I got to get a contractor to quote us back on what would be the installation. And most of those companies aren't up here in the north that do those steel buildings. The other issue is, so in the adequate control and tenure part of the grant, they basically require that the leasee, which would be the town in this situation, since the school board owns the property, have a 25-year agreement. Currently, the agreement with the school board is one year repeating for renewal. I had talked to Lauren at FPR. She said, you could have a 25-year, you know, agreement where there's like a yearly review or something like that, sort of the way that we did our landowner agreement, that there's a way out for the school board to terminate or however the municipality wanted to structure it. The only other way to do it, if we didn't do a 25-year grant, and I talked to Lauren, Dan's wife?
Allison.
Yeah. I talked to Allison about it. She was like, the school board doesn't care. You just tell us what we want, what we're going to do. We'll call a special meeting to vote on it, is to run the funding through the school board. But she said all their funding is done through the central school board. So that might get real complicated real, real quickly. So it seemed like the path of least resistance was to modify the agreement with the school board to 25 years with like a yearly review or something like that.
I don't see any reason why
we
couldn't do that.
I mean, was there a reason that, I mean, Allison kind of was like, you know, we were going back and forth every year and then the school board said something. I don't know if there was a reason.
We've always played around with that for offsetting taxes.
Right. And it has to do with head tax stuff. Yeah.
Kent was kind of one who
contrived it.
Yeah.
Well, it saved the school budget, you know, many thousands of dollars by them owning the land down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why it was done to begin with.
How time sensitive is this?
I can give Lauren a call tomorrow and say, hey, you know, us and the school board are working on this. So, because I think the pre-apps due December 13th for that. I could say, hey, you know, they're looking at restructuring this in one way or the other to be compliant. You know, and she may let us do the pre-app. We need to have everything in for the full application, which I think is March or something like that. This grant doesn't get executed. You can't start executing it until June of 2026. And it's a 3-year grant through, 2028. So we do have time. And it's like you said about the other municipal grants, it's set up as a municipal grant with a long timeline.
Yeah.
The extra 20% on top to like make sure that you can cover any price increases.
Yeah.
So it's the same type of municipal grant. But yeah, that was our one hang up is the way the current agreement structured with the school board, that it's yearly. Otherwise,
the reason why that can't be changed.
And just something article for the town meeting, I would imagine, and
you said in March, though, right?
Yeah.
Hold a special meeting if they had to.
Yeah, well, that's what Allison said. Allison said, you know, they'll call a special meeting whenever they need to.
Yeah.
To do it, she was
Well, no, but maybe we could warn a special town meeting to do it, and you know, and then it gets him in under his time window.
Even if it had to be, I guess, had to be. When's town meeting day?
Tuesday of March, however that falls.
I'll talk to Lauren tomorrow and say it may, because I'll talk to Ken as well.
Does it have to go through
the
town?
It may require a town meeting.
I think it probably would. I don't know. We need to talk to the boss.
You should email Kent about
all of that. That's what I'll do for him.
So I can't see where that would need to go through the town.
Where's the money going to go through?
Money would go through the town.
It's going to be the same money, or just the agreement's going to be, rather than year to year, it's going to be 25 year. Otherwise, nothing changes, right?
No, I don't think so.
A lot can change in 25 years.
Like a yearly review or something like that, where there's, you know, have Bob write a clause in there that gives a way out. You know?
Yeah.
They just want to see that 25 years in there.
Because
if you look at, like, our landowner agreements, it basically says the town or the municipality can terminate at any time. So we could write some sort of clause in there so that that's still year to year, sort of, if we needed to. Their other big thing is that maintaining public access, and that'll never be an issue with the rec area. So I think they'll work with us on this. That's what I'm working on. So I'll talk to Ken. I'll send Ken an email tomorrow about that and see what he has to say. But in theory, I didn't think that would be a big deal.
Shouldn't be.
He probably won't get back to you until next week.
Yeah. I'll tell Warren.
I don't think he's in the office again.
Maybe even
a week after he might not be back, but if he's not back next week, I'll send it over to him.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Now, we've got a while, I've got a bunch of other, I've got to do, environmental assessments and a bunch of other paperwork, so this isn't that big of a deal. I guess that's all we got for this. Nature Conservancy. Did anybody else see the last email that they sent out, or did it just go to me and Boomer and Ken?
I heard about it, so
it's in the front of us.
Right here. I could read it real quick if anybody wanted to hear it.
I kind of scanned through. I didn't read it word for word.
I saw Bob a couple nights ago. Don't worry about it. Sounds all right to you?
Well, I mean, the issues that I saw with their response was they're basically trying to say now there's no other development on the property. That what we had originally said is any new construction, none of the turn, berms, whatever, would be higher than 12 inches. They turned that around to say everything that's existing needs to be brought up to that standard. I have no idea how much money that would cost, but you know, the reality is there's no money to go back in and rebuild stuff. You know, I feel like they're trying to get to the point of, this is now personal preference. It has nothing to do with the existing deed restriction. You know, this is what we want to see on the property. This is what we feel. You know, then that they talked about adding more signage that specifically calls out pedestrians having right of way, where we already say,
do you want to go into executive session for this and shut that recording off?
Do it.
I think we should.
Okay.
I make a motion to go into an executive session.
Second it?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are now in executive session.
And Steve is invited?
Yes.
Okay, we are out of executive session. No decisions were made.
We will meet with Bob.
We will meet with Bob.
Correct, sir.
To discuss the Nature Conservancy.
Gentlemen.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for your time. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Very good.
Keep swinging at it, Steve.
Oh, I eventually will win.
All right, guys. See you later. Okay, thanks, dude. You want that? You want that? Isn't that why we
invented computers? So we don't have all the paperwork? Got it all that? I say it all the time. I've been making a living killing trees for like 25 years. I'm going to stop now.
Right. Road crew issues.
Not really a whole lot. Just getting working on the. Allie and I are gonna do some stuff on the budget next week, so we're ready for that meeting. Strat Mountain School has their new sign package, so I guess we'll just wait to hear from hear from Carson on how he's gonna implement his plan. Because the ball's in his court now, is what we told him.
He's going to want to go here. Go there.
Yeah. Yeah. Supposedly he's got a plan. This is kind of a budget thing, but I'll throw it out to you now. I may, if I can get all my ducks in a row before the end of December, I'm going to apply for a Category D Better Roads grant to try to change that culvert at the top of Penny Avenue. That's the biggest money grant that group gives out at $60,000. But I wanted to just throw it by you guys to see if you had any objection to doing that. I mean, we don't have to do it now, but I have the hydraulic study on it, and they're going to want. There's three options, and now I got to meet with Josh to find out which one he thinks. I'm going to push for just a 8-foot pipe,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to doing either a, you know, cast arch or a full-blown box culvert, because we can do it, like, if we hire Coop to do it, we work with him, we can probably do it in 2 or 3 days and have it done, and a box culvert's going to involve...
I don't think you can get a box in there.
Well, I mean, you could with enough dynamite, but...
I don't think so.
Yeah, and that's why I think he's probably going to want to
fish in that brook. Right
there is ledge.
I think that's probably why he's going to probably be, you know, give his blessing on a pipe. But the only thing that'll stop me from applying for it is they've suspended all the work of the river managers, all their routine work, because they moved them all up north because of all the flooding until the end of this month. So they're not really looking at any. Mm-hmm. At any just regular projects, unless it's like an emergent issue, mm-hmm. until the end of this month. So I'm going to try to talk to him, because in order to apply for that grant, we kind of need a letter from him saying, I've looked at hydraulic study, this is what I recommend, and then we can go forward. Because if it's anything but a steel pipe, we ain't going to get it for $60,000. Mm-hmm. And we're on the hook for 20% of that, but that's not that much. I mean, so, but I'll try to get some some figures together for the budget, and if Josh can't look at it, we'll just put it off for you. I mean, it's something we have to do, but I just thought if we're going to keep rolling on doing things, we know what we have to do there.
Is that a four-footer that's in there?
It's either a three or a four. It's not very big. And again, that one's been adequate all these years.
Yeah, water's come over the top, but nothing serious.
Yeah, nothing too bad.
Open Irene and 76, we had all that water.
But
came over the top.
But I think we could get a good part of it paid for, and it would be a pretty simple project. I think if we get a couple of his machines and some of our stuff up there, we could probably do it.
Put a bigger pipe in, raise that section.
Well, it would be nice to build the road up a little bit. So I take that.
If you can put it down, you can
put it up. Yeah. Yeah. It would take that belly out of there, and it would just be a little bit of easement work, you know, on your side and the other side. Gives a little push it out a little bit, but I don't see that as being a problem.
Let's put a little nozzle in there so that when the water's at just the right speed, it squirts right onto Al's front porch.
I don't care.
It's bony down on the low side of that. I'm sure they'll make them put a bunch of rock in there or something like
that. Have to build that lower side.
Yeah, he'll probably want you to put a bunch of E5 or E6 stone down there to so it. But Josh is pretty good. My experience with him is he's pretty good about, like, not always insisting on the George Washington Bridge. I mean, he's like, over there, he said, you know. Well, yeah, like over there, like when he looked at that one over by Forrester Road, that double barrel one, he's like, what do you want to put in? And I said, well, I like using pipes because they're quick. And he said, yeah. He said, I don't have a problem with it. He said, it'll take the water and, you know. You know, he's not like, oh, it's going to be a box culvert because I said so. You know, I mean, he's pretty pliable, generally.
Yeah, common sense.
You know, so, good. So I'll see if I can get a hold of him.
Probably should get a little solid up on the road up at the top of Penny Avenue where it's built up for plows coming through from the state.
Yeah.
If they get stuff on top of that, it's going to be not plowed very well.
Yeah, we'll clean it off in the morning. Right? Just we haven't plowed anything yet, so we haven't been up there, but we'll clean that. We'll clean that up in the morning. It's going to soften up in the morning when it rains on it. We'll scrape it up. That's about it. There isn't really much else.
Okay. How long is that area request? Do we have any?
None.
Cool.
Selectmen minutes last meeting. Any other business that may come before the board? Illegally?
Not that I know.
Okay. So we make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Done. Thank you.